This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
Hello, and welcome to this ILTA Radio podcast. My name is Jack Racinto, and I am ILTA's Strategic Partner Liaison for INTEP and a member of the Technology Solutions Content Coordinating Team. Today's podcast is the first in a series called Just Go With the Flow, How Workflows Can Improve and Automate Business Processes. With me on the podcast is Kim Hyde from OpenText. Kim is OpenText eDocs Senior Product Manager. She practiced law for over 10 years in Ohio before getting into product management. She uses her love of technology, problem solving, and unwillingness to take no for an answer to create meaningful solutions to solve complex business problems. Kim, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us today to talk about improving business processes.
Hi, Jack. Thanks so much for having me here today. I also want to give a big thank you to ILTA as well for providing this awesome forum. This is a great way to be able to share information with members.
Could you please give us some examples of larger business processes and how you've addressed them?
Absolutely. Interestingly, though, the historical interest around workflow with eDocs has been with customers that have been in non-legal industries. I think especially when it comes to some of our larger, more complex workflows. One such example is for a State Department of Transportation. This customer was looking to reduce the time between an issue being identified in the field and final resolution. So working with OpenText, eDocs, and one of our partners, we were able to use eDocs with one of our business process management solutions, which is a workflow. Crews were empowered to kick off a workflow right from the field. Issue was reported, photos were taken and saved by the crew into eDocs immediately. The workflow then is routed based on how the crew saves the information. If, for example, the issue was urgent, they could mark it urgent while they were saving it. If it was marked urgent, that would kick the workflow to go to a special team for an immediate review. If approved at this point, workflows then are kicked off around expense approval. Additional workflows are kicked off around resource assignments. Again, helping get the project started more quickly from the identification to the start of the project to the completion of the project. Because of this workflow, the time between discovery and resolution was significantly reduced. Doing this, of course, significantly improves the satisfaction of, you know, the folks who are driving on the roads and hitting those potholes. So everybody was much happier with the workflow. Now, that's just one example. We've got another example around using workflow in accounting. By leveraging a workflow in the accounts payable process, the time between receiving an invoice and making a payment to a third-party contractor was decreased so much, it in turn reduced late payments, and the customer recognized a savings of over six figures a month. That is a lot of money to be able to save doing a workflow. The same is going to be true in accounts receivable, right? It's not just paying your bills, but it's getting income from people who owe you money. So implementing a workflow to help you get those funds deposited correctly, make sure they're credited to the appropriate account, helps businesses recognize income more quickly, which of course helps the business overall. The third example I want to share with you is employee onboarding. That's another larger process where customers have leveraged workflow. We've got customers who are wanting to improve the process for onboarding. What they were seeing was they were seeing a lot of time that was wasted with emails going back and forth. Unnecessary parties were being included in email threads, meeting invitations. There was a high level of errors in the overall process. This resulted in new employees, when they started, they didn't have the computers that they needed, they didn't have the phones that they needed, they didn't have access to the appropriate systems to get their jobs done. By leveraging workflow, they were able to reduce the number of emails, stuff going back and forth. Only those parties that were necessary parties in the process were included. And steps that were often overlooked are now being captured. As a result of that, those new employees, when they start on day one, they're able to hit the ground running and they're able to perform their jobs immediately.
Kim, those were three really fantastic ways of using workflows to kind of automate business processes and address issues and errors that pop up along the way. I particularly enjoyed the one about employee onboarding because I know that there's a lot of firms out there who are struggling with kind of automating those processes. And as you said, kind of addressing some of those errors and making sure that their onboarding processes are smooth and seamless. Could you tell me a little bit about some of the smaller processes that you've worked on with workflows?
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a completely different animal. It's not even remotely the same as some of your larger processes. It's not nearly as complex. It doesn't require the same level of a workflow solution. You may not need a full enterprise solution, right? So the software is easier. It doesn't require as much hardware. So it's easier to set it up, maintain. It's easier to create those workflows as well. Some examples where we've seen those used by customers, definitely the smaller processes, we see those being leveraged by law firms, and that's because that's going to help you with a document approval workflow, contract approval workflows where you have to send something out for a signature, client billing, and even expense report approval. You know, 2 to 5 steps typically in some of these smaller processes. Another small process example would be for a new client intake, something that law firms are doing hopefully on a very regular basis. You get a new client, before work can begin, the firm needs to ensure that there aren't any conflicts of interest. Perhaps they need to check for other things against the client as well. So what's going to happen is your administrator is going to kick off a workflow that can either integrate with a third-party software, such as Intapp, to check for conflicts. Or if it's a smaller firm, they'll send an email out to an assigned group of people asking them to review manually for potential conflicts. Once the workflow is completed, your client is either going to be turned down because there is a conflict and you're not able to represent them, or they're going to get added to your client matter software, which in turn will add automatically to the client matter within eDocs. So your users can immediately start adding content to the system.
That's another great way of showing some of the smaller processes that law firms work with and automating those as well. So I actually appreciate some of those examples that you've given because I know myself, I've struggled with some of those and actually had built some workflows to address some of those issues at our firm. So perfect examples for the real world. What are the key ways of identifying what should be changed in a workflow, in your opinion?
Well, hopefully you'll notice in some of the examples that I've given already, things that we've been talking about, what you're looking for are repetitive tasks. So a good way to identify those repetitive tasks, if they're not obvious, you know, some of them may just be obvious and you just know what they are. But if you don't, I would suggest reaching out to your legal assistants, reach out to your paralegals, you know, to start off with. Ask them to identify tasks that they do on a daily, weekly, monthly, or a regular basis. You want to get a list of those items. Look at the list that you've received from people. You're going to look for overlaps in those responses. Typically, where you see overlaps in those responses, those are going to be opportunities for you to turn those processes into a workflow that will benefit the rest of your firm.
That makes perfect sense. You know, as you'd mentioned, kind of identifying those repetitive processes, which is a lot of, well, let's put it frankly, a lot of what legal work is kind of the repetitive processes on a daily basis, kind of just looking at those and determining where that process begins and where it ends and kind of taking it from that point. It makes really good sense to actually look at how we can automate some of those through workflows and kind of eliminate some of the human error that occurs and gets lost in the mix with like doing things such as emailing back and forth and including people who shouldn't be on those emails and things like that. So that's a really great way of actually identifying some of the processes. So thank you for that.
Well, okay, Jack, you know, before we go on, you know, you actually made me think of another thing that I wanted to mention. You're talking about the workflow and legal. I haven't seen it a whole lot, but it's interesting, you know, because I did go to law school. I practiced law for a while. When you think about workflows and you think about, let's say, your state rules of civil procedure or the federal rules of civil procedure, to me, those are just one massive workflow. Right. It's how do you start a case? You know, how do you file a case in the court? And how do you conclude the case, you know, through the appellate process? It's really just one big massive workflow. Ideally, you know, attorneys will start to see that. And as the technology improves, they'll start to embrace it more.
Yeah, that's a really good point as well. You know, kind of illustrating that to the attorneys, I've always found is kind of pivotal to actually implementing some of these workflows, just kind of building that partnership with them and kind of showing them how the process itself is just a large workflow, as you said, and just convincing them that we can automate it. We have technology to do this. This is something that we should do to speed things up and eliminate the issues that we've seen in the past, just doing it by human hand.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's great. So what about metrics? What metrics should one use when determining how successful a workflow has been post-implementation?
Well, you know, post-implementation probably is not the time to be thinking about metrics for success. I think that's probably one of the first things that you need to think about even before you start to do a workflow. You've got to make sure that you understand the goals before you begin any process improvement project. Ideally, your goals for implementing a workflow should be to increase profitability by looking to reduce variability. You want to make sure that you're able to repeat the processes over and over the exact same way, giving you the exact same outcome. You know, something I learned, you know, when playing tennis, it isn't practice makes perfect. It's perfect practice makes perfect. So when you're doing a workflow, if you want to have a perfect outcome, you have to be doing the perfect processes to have the perfect outcome. And a workflow is what's going to help you do that. By doing that, it's going to help you reduce the errors in the process, and it's going to help you eliminate waste. Waste of time, waste of resources. So this is why it's crucial to take the needed time up front to really understand the processes you're looking to automate. Don't just jump in and create a workflow for the sake of creating a workflow. One of the things I do when I'm looking to document or map out a process, I always start at the end of the process first and work my way to the beginning. By starting at the end and working your way to the beginning in the opposite direction, it's going to require you to go a little bit more slowly, and it's going to require more thought.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, actually, when you know where you're actually looking to be, when you know where the end of that workflow is, and you just start from there and work your way backwards, you kind of build that path that you already know, as opposed to starting from the beginning and trying to figure out how you get there. It makes more sense to start from the end, as you said, and kind of build from that end where you want to be and move to where you then begin. That makes really good sense.
Yeah. And during this, while you're mapping out the process, you've got to make sure that you've identified all of the steps, what are the decision points, and who are the key players, right? How many steps are there? How many people are involved in the process? How long does this process typically take today to do it? If you've gathered all this information up front, understanding the success after you've implemented the workflow is going to be a lot easier to capture. You know, once the workflow is implemented, go back to your goals. Have you removed as much of the variation in the process as possible? Have you reduced the opportunity for errors? Have you improved the time from start to finish? Have you reduced the number of people involved in the process? So if you're able to answer, you know, yes to these questions, and you're able to show that the time from start to finish is actually less because of the workflow, you're going to be able to go back to the folks who are in charge and show them what the impact of the workflow has been on your overall bottom line. You know, one final note on this particular topic, right? Workflows are a living thing. You've got to make sure that you're periodically monitoring the workflow for enhancements and changes. Processes do change, right? Technology processes change over time. So you have to make sure that your workflow is evolving with the new technology, with the new processes.
That makes great sense. It's always good, and I always talk about it, being agile and being ready to change at any particular moment, because you never know when technology is going to change or when processes are going to change, and particularly in legal. And I'm sure you as an attorney realize that the law could change overnight sometimes just when you don't want it to. So being able to think that way, yeah, I can definitely see how that's a benefit.
Sure, absolutely.
Well, thanks for that list of metrics. I mean, as you went through and you had all those questions lined up in a list, that's kind of the things that we were looking for with regards to kind of identifying the success of a workflow and everything. And it makes perfect sense to actually think about these things at the beginning rather than at the end. You always want to come in with that game plan and understand, look, this is our end goal here. Let's start thinking about how we now measure getting there and kind of prep that so that as you're moving forward through developing the workflow, you can start thinking about those particular questions that you brought up with regards to the metrics and start asking yourself, am I eliminating the repetitive work? Am I eliminating the options for errors here and things like that? So that makes perfect sense. And that was a really great list. So Kim, where do you see the future of using workflows and business processes going?
Well, especially as it, let me say, as it relates, because it's already being used, you know, I'd say pretty heavily outside of legal, within the legal field, within the legal industry, I'm really hoping to see a significant increase in workflows over the next 5 years. You know, technology is getting easier. You're going to have workflow solutions that are in the cloud that'll make it easier for customers to stand up and perform workflows. The user interfaces are getting more intuitive. So hopefully we'll start to see legal embrace workflow. Right. Everyone is being asked to do more with less. A great way to accomplish this is by implementing workflows. Workflows enable you to leverage lesser experienced staff to help out with those repetitive tasks, freeing up more experienced staff to assist with higher value tasks. I also see workflows being leveraged to help clients get information via self-help portals. I've been reading a lot about that lately on the internet. So not every client inquiry has got to be answered by an attorney. By law firms setting up some self-help portals, it's really just an information workflow, and it's a great way for you to add value for your clients and help differentiate your law firm from your competitors.
Well, and that's a really good point, and I'm glad you brought that up, actually, because one of the hot topics that we had talked about is artificial intelligence and just how chatbots and knowledge bots are becoming bigger processes in legal and in law firms and in corporate legal departments. And you know, a lot of people don't realize that those bots just don't come up with the answers on those on their own, nor do they do the work that you ask them to do. You actually have to have a workflow in place to get that work accomplished and to have that bot respond the way that you want it to.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a great way of looking at the future.
Right.
So with regards to workflows in that particular case, you know, I appreciate your insight in where they currently are. And particularly as an attorney, I mean, you're very familiar with how attorneys work and everything. And I think that just being in a law firm myself, you know, just realizing that the practice groups operate certain ways, and a lot of ways, a lot of things that they do are particularly geared toward workflows. And it seems like in a lot of ways, firms actually look at the overall process of the firm, like for instance, new business intake or something like that as a workflow. But it's also important to look at some of these smaller processes just from a day-to-day basis on maybe the secretary-attorney type relationship with how they do work and stuff like that. And then maybe even automating a lot of those things so that even some of those smaller workflows can help at that very minuscule level directly involving just the attorney and their particular assistant.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. The back and forth between staff. I'm sure there are a lot of things that you can automate. And ideally people won't fear, you know, won't fear workflows and think, oh, it's going to replace me. I mean, the goal for the workflow really is to help you do a better job, to free you up for more meaningful work.
Right.
I mean, I think there's plenty of work out there for everybody.
Absolutely.
We need everybody focused on the high dollar, high value work.
That makes perfect sense. And that's the thing. So if there's anything we can take away from this podcast, it's don't fear workflows. They're here to help you. They're here to help you do meaningful work that you can actually really appreciate and get rid of that mundane stuff that you just turn off and go into autopilot on.
That's exactly right, Jay.
Speaking with us, Kim Hyde of OpenText. Thank you for speaking with us today, and hopefully we'll speak to you again on another podcast.
I'd like that.
Thank you to our listeners, too, who have joined us on this episode of ILTA Radio. Just go with the flow, how workflows can improve and automate business processes.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio. Get tuned in.